moving with State Senator Chris D'Astor-Alfheim. We were talking about the feigned bipartisanship, and I remember, you know, back when I was again in the GOP, we heard from representatives and senators and all that. They talk about how 95% of the bills are passed and are bipartisan.
Sure.
And, you know, they were very proud of that for some reason. Mm-hmm. And but we were talking about how that really isn't the case.
Well, it is the case.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It is the case on what is brought out of committee and to the floor. So it's absolutely true to say the bulk of the bills that come through are passed with bipartisan support.
But the important one, I mean,
but the important information is that none of those bills are coming to the floor or to committee with any type of a Democratic lean. So basically, you've got the Democrats are acknowledging that not everything that the Republicans pass is bad.
Right.
Right. Not everything's bad. So we're going to.
That's cool.
Right. So we will jump on something that makes sense, but they're not listening to the other half of the legislature and the ideas regarding housing, childcare, healthcare, all of these things that we're trying to build. Those bills never get a vote. So, yes, the Democrats are actually the ones that are absolutely get the credit for working across the lines on what would be good for Wisconsin. The Republicans, on the other hand, are never, ever asked to agree with a Democratic bill because it never comes to the floor. So they never have to. So the Democrats should get credit for doing the job that Wisconsin wants them to do. They are working across the line, but that's the only thing they get to vote on. The Republicans are never asked to come on the other side of the line because it never gets a vote.
It's not fair to have to be asked and to be expected to be the adult in the room every single time. It's not right.
It's not right, but here we are. Here we are.
So, I mean, because that is anti-democratic. That's not okay.
This comes back to why the Judge Crawford election is so important.
Yeah.
It really does. So my opinion, and this is just reality from being inside, everyone in Wisconsin that I've ever talked to, and I knock on thousands of doors, say, let's go back to working together. Let's mm-hmm. go back to compromise. And if you go back and you ask the people, when do you think that last happened? The answer is like, I don't know what, almost 15 years ago.
Doyle. Huh.
That's true.
Yeah, weird.
That's true because right. back then, prior to the lines being rewritten, back in the day when the districts were drawn up pretty legitimately,
yep.
right? Back in that day when the majority might have been on the side of the Democrats, you would see the bills that are coming to the floor, it might be a 60-40 advantage. Mm-hmm. They might be 60% Dem bills and 40%. Even if it were 70-30, I'd give them that.
Right.
But the point is, the bills that were coming to the table were coming from both sides, and both sides had to work it out to figure out what to do. So if you want things to go back to working together, you have to have faith in the fact that lines mandate that happens, because no party has an automatic advantage and doesn't need the other side to work together. The lines matter in this election. Not just maintaining the lines that we have agreed to right now that are in play, but also the congressional lines, which will be coming up in the near future. Wisconsin has 8 congressional districts. They've been drawn 6 very red and 2 very blue in a 50-50 state. Right. Just do the math on that.
Right.
Right? So these elections have consequences. And they have consequences to what everyone that I have ever talked to in the state, red, blue, purple, have said they want, which is go back to working together, find compromise, and move forward. If we want that to happen, there are only 2 things. One, we have to be able to maintain straight, fair lines. And 2, the leadership has to be willing to allow their body to have their own voices and to work together with the other side to do that. All I'll say is that I am willing to do that. The Democrats are willing to do that. And there are some Republicans willing to do that.
Yeah.
They're just not being allowed to do it.
It's crazy how, you know, I don't think people understand how backwards it is.
It is astounding. It is astounding how badly people want to do a good. And again, some from both sides and how it is impossible to actually move forward with common sense right now. I literally ran for this position based on rational thought, mm-hmm. based on pragmatic decision-making where neither side is always right.
Your color was purple, right?
It is. It still is.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we need to be able to function in that manner. We're going to have strong right. We're going to have strong blue. And then we're going to have the adults in the room saying, all right, let's rationalize why these decisions are good for the bulk of Wisconsin and move forward. That's what we need to get back to, and we can't do that if the threat of undoing the lines back to a supermajority exists. That's the real story.
And it's wild how the mental gymnastics that Republicans have to do, you know, and I've talked to the Shea Sortwells and Andre Jacques of the world that, you know, that talk about how, you know, these lines are great and all of the, you know, but when you have the swingiest of swing states in the country mm-hmm. and you have a 60-40 majority in the Assembly and the Senate, like that's not how that works.
Right. I mean, again, you and I have been in enough Republican meetings over the years that we know the absolute intention. And you heard the words as clearly as I did from multiple big names on the GOP side that said, we don't want the decisions made up, you know, by Milwaukee or Madison.
Well,
they absolutely, I mean, we know this. Even our moderate Republicans will acknowledge they were in the room when the maps were drawn. The reality is most of us understand that we should have to fight for what we believe is right. We should have to work together to find compromise. And that only happens in a fair playing field.
The first crack in my armor from being a Republican, it was when John Klinke was a 88th representative, and he would come back from Madison and we'd sit in his garage and have a beer and talk about what's going on. And when these lines were getting drawn, he said something and he was like, yeah, we're doing these new maps. There won't be a Democratic majority for 10 years.
Yep. Clearly
and,
it was.
And I was like, oh, okay. Wow. Holy cow. Huh. And then
seems extreme.
I didn't sleep really well that night. Cause I'm like,
wait a minute.
Holy crap. Like that's right. It's actually really bad because you're taking, I mean, As a Republican at the time and as someone who gives a crap, the will of the people is everything.
Right.
That matters.
Right.
And you're taking that completely away.
Completely away.
Just for power.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the ads for Crawford and Schimmel. So here's my irritation with ads. First, I hate the amount of money that's going on.
If I could
wave a pen and get rid of all of this outside money for everybody, I would.
Yeah.
I think we all agree on that. But here's my issue. Both ads, I don't care which one you're running, it's like, boo, scary, boo, scary. I mean, of the thousands of cases that any judge has, I don't care whether it's Schimmel or it's Crawford, we know there are going to be, you're going to be able to find examples of, we think it'd be it should have been a stricter situation.
Yes.
Both sides, we know that. That is unfortunately what we hear over and over and over. It's the gloom and doom. They're both saying the same thing. So if I were a voter, I would just ignore all of that.
Right.
Like, ignore both sides on they let a bad guy go, because that does happen in our system. Right, wrong, or otherwise, that does happen in a small case. So if that's the case, if we can agree that both have probably gotten people off easier than expected for whatever reason, let it go. Now get down to the meat of the difference between the two candidates.
Yeah.
And there is a distinct difference in the meat of who they are philosophically and where they want to take us moving forward. I would strongly suggest we wipe out mentally all of the he let a bad guy go, she let a bad guy go. Yep, they're judges. It happens. Go down beneath then, and what are they actually believing in and what are they trying to accomplish? That is what matters in this case. There is a clear, clear line on emotionally and spiritually and at their core what they support, which I think is okay, by the way. Remember when we had Janet come through, I think it's perfectly acceptable for a human to have emotional feelings on a topic.
Yeah.
That does not make them not judge worthy, right? They're humans. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is a body of work that we can easily track with both of these candidates in terms of women's issues and reproductive mm-hmm. issues. There's a clear distinction between the two of them. One supports women having the choice and the options, one does not. I think that's clear.
Yep.
I think one has a body of work that shows that defending the civil rights of all people in the state of Wisconsin matter to them. There's a clear choice on that. One has made it very clear that they lean very deep into the right and restricting those opportunities for others. That is very clear. So try to turn down the noise on they let a bad guy go.
Right.
Because they're both, they both have to say yes to that. It does happen. Get down to who these candidates are. I don't like the fact that Schimmel is making it very clear that he's dodging the fact that he is very much the 18, he agrees with the 1849, even though he's said it. And then he makes it seem like, I believe the public should have that choice. That is so disingenuous, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
That is so disingenuous because no Republican will let the public have a vote on a ballot.
Never.
Ever.
Because so the public is not going to.
You have to take that off. Right. You have to take that off as a non-option. So then you're back to who are they and what do they stand for?
Mm-hmm.
This vote matters. Anybody who wants the legislation to be better, to work through compromise so that there's less stress on the Supreme Court to be making these decisions has to vote for someone who believes that the lines should be drawn fairly according to law.
To represent the people.
To represent the people. We will go backwards. We will go backwards if Crawford doesn't win this election.
Yes. And what's wild is like, you know, when I was a Republican, as that party believes limited government, you know, don't tread on me, get government out of my life. What is more intrusive than telling someone you can't marry that person? What is more intrusive than telling a woman, sorry, you can't have that choice over what happens with your own body? What is more intrusive than the richest guy in the world having you, your wife, your kids, social freaking security numbers unchecked? You know,
I have an issue with a gentleman who has a massive lawsuit pending in the state of Wisconsin, investing in who will adjudicate that lawsuit.
Yes.
And that is Tesla.
That's what's happening.
I have an issue with that. Everyone should have an issue with that.
Yes.
Everyone. I don't care. I don't care what side you're on. Common sense says money should not buy the person who then is going to decide millions and millions of dollars worth of revenue for you. That shouldn't happen. And here we are.
Here we are. And it's a wild thing that, you know, you see people on the right having to do these mental gymnastics just to skirt through to get to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm okay with that. How are you okay? If that was on the other side, if that was like, oh, I don't know, a liberal company, you know, just picking a judge that allows them to do whatever the hell they want, they would be in the streets.
Yeah, every issue, if we bring it back down to, if it were me, right?
Right.
If I were going into a court case or something that my livelihood, my family depended on, would I want someone else, the other side of that coin, throwing in millions of dollars to make sure the judge was their hand pick? Would we want that?
Right.
That is legitimately what's happening. Again, common sense, rational thought. No.
No.
That's not who we are. That's not how it's built. And yet we're walking down that line.
And it's interesting how, you know, you hear, oh, this is the most important election. This is the most important election. Well, I mean, it's pretty, in this one, because of everything that's at stake, the people of Wisconsin having a voice or not having a voice, that's on the ballot.
It is on the ballot. And we're not going to come to the end of these, this is the most important vote.
No.
We're not going to come to the end of that until we can literally get the state back to functioning as a bipartisan body. And that means the leadership has to change. The majority needs to change, whatever that is. But until we can get back to actually legislating together, there is that much more pressure on the Supreme Court. And we'll continue to have these, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars wasted on it. We have to fix it at its core, which is a Madison issue. It's a legislative issue. It's an issue of the people. I went to a Republican legislative breakfast a month or so back. One of me, four Republican legislators. And it was interesting. This is a very, very Tea Party level issue. And they are showing frustration with their own party because they can't get voices out there. If they're mad, imagine what the minority feels like.
Good. Yeah, right. We are talking with Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim, and we're going to talk about the other races that are on the ballot. And then how's your life changed and all that good stuff since all this has started? So stick around. We'll be right back. Good enough for-
for me and my Bobby again.